Today we start our new series for Advent, the Advent Conspiracy. I told you about it a couple of weeks ago before we left for Kansas for the Thanksgiving holiday. I like the word conspiracy, because if you think about the Christmas story, it was a conspiracy. I mean, God came to earth to be born of a virgin girl. Most scholars believe she was between the ages of 13 and 15. That's a conspiracy. To be born into, like I just said, a hole in the wall, a cave. I mean, it wasn't a nice barn like a lot of the farmers have today, where, you know, painted red and nice and clean with the different little areas for the different animals. I mean, it was just a cave that they probably rolled something in front of or had a piece of wood built to keep the animals in. And it was filthy. And that's where our Lord and Savior came into this earth. And then the way he lived was a conspiracy. The way he died was a conspiracy. And so I don't know any other word that better describes this season than conspiracy, especially in the sense that we're going to talk about it this morning. So we had a great trip back to Kansas, spent the Thanksgiving holiday there, and like I told you, about 3 days in, we were ready to come home, but we had to stay for the full four or five. And I'll tell you about our experience. I got home one day, ready to start loading up the car, and my wife has three suitcases and five garbage bags sitting in the living room. I don't know if you've seen our black car, but it's not big. And so I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, how are we going to get all this in there? And we've got one of those little deals that goes into the back of the car, into the hitch, and it has a little platform. It's actually sitting in our driveway right now, so if you don't know what that is, you can check it out on your way out. But it goes into our hitch, and it adds about 8 square feet more of space. And so figured out how to get it all in there, and we were all crammed. And of course, the kids bring their pillows and their video games and whatever else they need to keep themselves entertained, because heaven forbid they sit in a car for 8 hours with nothing to do. So we made it there, and then on the way home we decided we were going to stop in Kansas City, and we didn't have as much on the way home, but we still had some extra stuff that our sister had given us. And I actually have a picture of our car. Okay, maybe that's not our car, but that's how it felt. I mean, it felt like we had all this stuff. And so we're in Kansas City, and we wanted to go to a movie and go out to lunch and to go see the big Christmas tree at the Crown Center. And, you know, it's decorated all pretty down there. And we had to be mindful of where we stopped because of all the stuff we had on the outside of our car. We went to the movie, and Jenna Lee and I, we had Christmas presents because we'd done some shopping, had the kids stand in front of the car where we could see them. And we were in the back, taking stuff off the thing and throwing it where they were sitting so that it would be safe while we were in the movie. Well, you can only do that once because you get tired of that. So then after the movie, we decided we would go to the Crown Center and check out the tree, and we were able to park in a parking garage, and the security guard was waving us on to go up, and then he saw the stuff on the back, and he goes, actually, you just park here, and we'll keep an eye on that for you. So we were thankful for that. And then after that, we wanted ice cream. And so I got on the phone, and I looked up where a Cold Stone Creamery was. If you've ever had that, that's pretty good stuff. So that's what we wanted, and so we drive to where the Cold Stone Creamery is, and it's just on-street parking, and there's no way we're going to see our car. And the place was packed because it's this shopping area of Kansas City that I've never been at, but it's like four blocks of stores. And so I'm getting ready to park, and Jen Lee's like, I don't want to leave the car here like this. And so we had to go and settle for Baskin-Robbins in a little farther away area where we could see the car from the window. So what does this have to do with my sermon this morning? The Christmas season comes with a lot of baggage, doesn't it? It comes with a lot of expectations that really limit us to fully experiencing what God intended for us to experience in this season. Just like we couldn't stop wherever we wanted in Kansas City because we carried all this stuff with us, we start out the Christmas season with great intentions every year. I'm almost sure of it. Well, we're going to really experience the coming Christ, really going to celebrate the reason for the season. That's a really popular phrase around this time of year between Christians, the reason for the season. And we start out with really great intentions, and somewhere along the way, we get sucked in to the baggage that comes with Christmas, with the expectations that the world throws on it, about having to have the perfect meals and the right presents and the great decorations and this, that, and the other, and all the busyness and baggage that comes with Christmas, and we're not free to experience it the way it was intended to be experienced. We weren't free to experience Kansas City how we wanted to experience because we had all this stuff with us. And if we bring the baggage that the world gives us that comes with Christmas with us, we're not going to experience it the way God truly intended for us to experience it. What the Advent conspiracy is about, and what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, is getting free. Getting free. Taking off and throwing aside all that baggage that comes with Christmas. All those expectations that the world says you have to have, and we're just going to set them aside. And we're going to experience it the way it was meant to be experienced. We're going to celebrate. We're going to prepare for the coming Savior. This isn't about me giving you a list of 10 things to do to experience Christmas. This isn't about me giving you more to put on your plate of already, you know, the list of things you've already got to do between now and Christmas. This is about giving you freedom to let some of that stuff fall away. I want to give you permission to celebrate Christmas the way it was intended to be celebrated. And a lot of times we have a hard time with that. We don't feel like we have permission to do that because everybody else around us is doing it the way the world says they have to do it. But I want us to have the freedom, to have permission. Does it mean that we're going to do it perfectly? Probably not. But if we're intentional about it, we can make some small changes in the way we celebrate and really experience it, maybe for the first time, in a small way, the way God intended it to be experienced. I believe that God wants us to be free to worship, to be free to worship fully. I asked Lucas and Carrie to sing that song this morning because it really sums up what I think God wants for us in this season, to be free to run, free to dance, free to live for Him. It's not about being held captive by our checkbook or by our credit card bills or by, you know, the desserts and lunches and dinners that are going to take place at your workplace and in your home and in the homes of your neighbors and the running to and fro and, you know, all these other things that we decide mean Christmas. But to be free to run, free to dance, free to live for God. There's four elements of this series of the Advent conspiracy. And I'm going to do a brief survey, and then we're going to get into the first week. The first week is going to be worship fully, and I'll just give you a quick overview because we're going to talk about that later. Our hearts are formed by what we worship. Would you say that that's true? Our hearts are formed by what we worship. So what do we worship at Christmas? It's a question. What do we worship at Christmas? I don't hear any. Okay, I'm going to have to. We worship Jesus. Okay? It wasn't a trick question. We worship Jesus. But I feel like a lot of us are like the little kid at Easter where a Sunday school teacher asks him the question and he says, "I'm pretty sure the right answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds a lot like the Easter Bunny." I think we know the right answer is Jesus, but for some reason our world doesn't quite let our minds make that connection. We all know what the right answer is. We all know what we should worship. But how do we spend our time? How do we spend our money? What is our focus in this season? Is it really on Jesus? Is it really on preparing ourselves in our homes, as Rick and Laura just read, for the coming of our Savior into this world? Or have we let our hearts and our minds wander somewhere else? Maybe not intentionally. Maybe that's just the flow of the world and we kind of just get sucked along with it. But we can choose to be intentional about it today. The next thing is spend less. Spending does not capture the meaning of the Christmas season. Did you know that? I didn't know. I did. But. Now, before I start getting hate mail from all the kids and the teenagers, I'm not saying don't buy presents. That's not what I'm saying. Because if you ask a kid what they're most excited about at Christmas, no matter how much you tell them what it's about, they're going to say the presents. They're kids. When you were a little kid, did you say Jesus all the time You were excited about the presence. So I could preach till Jesus comes back, and I'm not going to change that, and I'm not going to try to. But it doesn't mean we have to spend so much. We can spend less. There's a lot of suggestions that come with this series, making gifts, buying one family gift like a board game or something that you can do together. I'm not going to tell you what, like I said, I'm not going to give you a list. I'm just giving some suggestions, but be creative. What if we spent 10% less at Christmas? Do you think our kids would really notice 10% less? Probably not. And then what if we took that 10% and did something for someone that doesn't have as much as we do? Someone that's poor or hungry or sick or hurting, or maybe someone that doesn't know Christmas is about Jesus. Did you know that Americans spend $450 billion every year on Christmas? Not million, billion with a B. That's a lot of money. 10% less. Imagine what we could do with that. Imagine what impact we could have on the world for God with 10% of that. The fourth thing, give more. Now, how do we spend less and give more? It's not about buying gifts and giving them out. It's about giving relationally. Giving relationally. So what if you have a gift of baking? Make me some cookies. I'll eat them. But be relational about it. Invite someone to a cup of coffee and have a conversation with them. Bake them the cookies and then take them over there and sit with them and eat them as you have a conversation, as you spend time with them. Build those relationships. Share that love that Jesus shares with us with other people that don't get to experience it all that often. Time is the best Christmas gift we can give, and we can't buy time at Target or Walmart or even Hobby Lobby. They carry a lot of Christmas stuff, but you can't buy time at Hobby Lobby. A lot of you are probably going to want the time that you spend in those stores back after the season's over. So use that time to bless someone with the love of Jesus. And then the fourth element is love all. It's pretty simple, I think. Love all. Put someone on your Christmas list that doesn't expect to be on there this year. Maybe they don't even know your name. Maybe they won't say thank you. But you can impact someone in a real huge way this season just by including them, by remembering them. So those are the four elements. Today, we are talking about worshiping fully. This is our Advent week number one theme. Getting free to follow God, just like the song we sang. We're free to run, we're free to dance, we're free to live for Him, but I don't think we know that. I don't think we fully buy into that. Because the world says, you're free to do that, just don't get too crazy with it. Just don't let it spill over into my life. Just don't let it make you look too much different than the rest of us. But that's not what God says at all. The reason we aren't fully obedient to God is because we're not free. Because we can say we're free and we can hear we're free all day long. But until we start living like we're free, we can't be fully obedient to God. We can't. We want to give. We want to do more. We want to be there for people. We want to live this kind of life that Jesus lived. But we can't do it until we fully buy into the fact that we are free to do it. We have permission. We've been gifted. We've been mandated by God who sent Jesus, who died on the cross for us so that we could have the freedom to do this. Did you know that what we celebrate at Advent more than anything is God calling us out of our comfort zones? Did you know that? That's what Advent really, I mean, if you get down to the brass tacks, means. Advent means preparing, anticipating, being excited about, looking forward to something special. And in this case, that something special is the coming of our Lord and Savior into this world in flesh, body and blood. Now, how do we prepare for that and stay in our comfort zones? How do we prepare for God in the flesh who offers us eternal life and stay in our comfort zones? I don't think it's possible. I think we have to get outside of what feels safe. We have to get outside of what the world says is normal. And we really have to start living like Jesus lived. We have to live lives of conspiracy. We have to live radically. When I was young, we lived in a house that had a pretty good-sized staircase that went up to a big porch. And I was the oldest in my family, but the youngest of all the other kids in the neighborhood. And so they would come over with their bikes, and we'd ride bikes. And then one day, one of the older kids got this idea of, man, it'd be sweet to ride my bike down those steps. And so he gets up there, and he rides down the steps. And then pretty soon, all the other older kids are riding down the steps. And I was sitting there looking at it, and I thought, man, that looks like a lot of fun. But I was scared. Because those were some big steps. I mean, they were that big, and there were probably 8 or 10 of them. And so one day I just decided, you know what, that looks like too much fun, I can't help it. And so I creep my front tire up to that first step, and I look down and I just thought, what am I doing? And I kind of just nudge myself over, and I flew down and down the sidewalk, and man, that was a blast. And I did it for the rest of the day, and it was a good time. But a lot of times, isn't that how we view following God completely? It looks like fun. When other people are doing it and we see it, we're like, man, I want that in my life. But we're scared. We're scared of falling. What if we fall? And I think more than falling, we're scared of the unknown of what happens if we fall. Advent is about not worrying about that. It's about being free. We're not working without a net here. God's got his hands down there ready to catch us. Put us right back up on the ledge of the steps so we can try it again. There's nothing more exhilarating, nothing more exciting, no greater adventure than saying yes to God. It really isn't. So this is our key verse today. You've probably all been looking up here thinking, when's he going to get to that? My slides are limited today, but this is important. And I think we've talked about this verse 2 or 3 times. Actually, I'm sure of it because this is one of my favorite go-to verses in Scripture. When I say, how does God want me to live? This is the Scripture I turn to see if my life is lining up with how God wants me to live. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's what worship is all about. That's what worship is all about. It's about responding to God. That word, therefore, we're free to run, we're free to dance, we're free to live for God. Therefore, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Don't live in the safe zone. Don't worry about what the rest of the world's going to say if we choose to celebrate Advent the way it was meant to be celebrated. If we choose to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior in a different way than the world expects us to. Because we are free to follow God. Do you need more proof? I've got more. Think about Mary. Remember, she was 13, 14, 15 years old, somewhere in there. A lot of people believe she was about 12, 12 and a half when the angel first visited her and said, hey, by the way, God chose you. You're gonna be the mother of the Savior of the world. What if an angel came to you and said that? You'd be like, whatever. Yeah, right. But listen to what Mary says. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary creeped that tire right up to the edge of the porch and she rode down. She wasn't worried about what was going to happen. She knew that God was calling her to something great and she wanted to say yes, and so she did. Then we've got the shepherds. In Luke 2, the angels came and they told the shepherds about the coming Christ. They told him the story that where he was going to be, what he was going to be doing, and all this stuff. Now, if you know anything about shepherds back then, that was all they did. They were shepherds when they got up, they were shepherds when they went to bed, and that's what they pretty much did from the time they became a shepherd till the time they died. That's all they knew. So these angels came and tell them about the coming Christ. And here's what they said. Let's go. This is all I've known for I don't know how many years. I don't know what's going to happen if I leave. There's nobody here to watch the sheep. I don't even know if they're going to accept me because I'm a shepherd. And back then, shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were dirty people. They stunk. They didn't have showers. I mean, they spent all day with sheep. What do you think they smelled like? But they said, you know what? Let's go. God's doing something big, and I want to be a part of it. So they left everything they ever knew. They creeped that tire right up to the edge of the porch, and they rode down. Everyone worships. Mary worshiped. The shepherds worshiped. You and I worship. But what do we worship? That's the question. What are we going to choose to worship this Christmas? Is it going to be what the world tells us to worship? Where we say one thing, the reason for the season is Jesus, and yet we live something that doesn't communicate that to the rest of the world? God is calling us to something big. Just like he called Mary, just like he called the shepherds. But we can't get there if we take all the baggage with us. If our hearts and our spirits look like that car that I just showed you at the beginning of the sermon, piled down with all this stuff that the world says comes with Christmas, we can't get there. We won't get there. There are going to be some things that we have to leave behind. And so then we wonder, how do we know what we're supposed to take? Tell me what I'm supposed to take. Well, I can't tell you, and you can't tell me. But I think Romans 12, 1 and 2 gives us a pretty good picture of what we can and can't take. Whatever doesn't fit into God's good and pleasing and perfect will has to stay behind. If it fits in God's will, it goes. If it doesn't fit in God's will, it stays. Use that to be the ruler that you measure your worship experience this holiday season with. Is what I'm partaking in fitting in with God's will? And then I just want to close with a couple of questions that we can ask of ourselves. These would be great things to talk about around the dinner table with your family. You know, these are things that I think we need to wrestle with this Christmas season. Here's a couple of questions. This year, what's going to be different? And this year, what difference will I make? Pretty simple questions that can open up a world of discussion within your family. We're not going to make a complete transformation from today to December 25th. But we can make a good start. We can choose today to celebrate the Advent season the way it was meant to be celebrated, the way Mary celebrated it, the way the shepherds celebrated it, by hearing the invitation that God is giving us to follow him, to be in his will, and then to say yes, to pull our bikes up right up to the edge of the porch and fly down those stairs. Do I know what's going to happen? Nope. But God does. And I think he's got some good things in store. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And this is how we worship fully, completely, with our entire being, with everything God gave us. Don't leave anything on the table. Offer it all to him. Let's pray. Father, I'm challenged this morning. I didn't think I'd be this challenged. I wrote this. But you really just, man, you impressed so much on me this morning. And Lord, I pray that the rest of us feel that your spirit is here and moving. Lord, may we say yes to your invitation to worship fully, to spend less, to give more and to love all. Lord, to turn this Christmas season upside down the way you turned the world upside down when you came to it. Lord, show us ways, unique ways that we can impact this world for your glory. That we can spread your love to people that need it more than ever in this season. And Lord, I haven't forgotten. This is Bangor Liberty Friends Church. These are generous people. We just had a thank offering that brought in almost $10,000. And Lord, sometimes I think, what more can I ask? But it's not me asking, it's you. Are we offering our bodies as living sacrifices? Have we given everything we can? Help us to wrestle with that each day. To make it our prayer, to make it our battle cry. As we follow you. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.